The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not dessert for the weekend. Yeah. It's bread for daily consumption. Amen. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Don't you feel good about that? Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning? Well, why don't we act like it? Some of you sit out there and never sing a note, never smile, never look at anybody but yourself in the mirror, and get your fingertip machines out and punch them and play with them while, or talk or laugh while the songs are going on. I'm not preaching yet, I'm just talking. May God help us. We're living in a troubled hour. These are difficult days. We need to be on fire for God. Now I want you to open your... Oh, by the way, did I tell you that when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about this morning. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 9, as you're finding your place in the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, I would remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, this word is not new. It's been in heaven since eternity, since God settled in heaven, and then God settled it right here on earth as he moved upon holy men who wrote what God said. We believe in the inspiration of the scripture. Now I'm going to read this inspired word, Matthew chapter 9. I read verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. I read these beginning with verse 10 after we pause in a moment of prayer, and I trust that you will bow and pray with me. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your kindness and love and mercy to us. As weak and frail and fragile and finite as we are, as unworthy and undeserving, we have fallen so far short. We fail. We've lost so many things that we used to have. Oh, God, bring them back. Do it again, dear Lord. Do it again. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, at verse number 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, now notice they're asking the disciples, wonder why they didn't ask Jesus, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? And listen, watch this now. Jesus did not give his disciples the time to answer the question. That put them on the spot. He took them off the spot. He answered the question himself. Listen to what he said. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now would you look back, they that be whole need not a physician. It would be a poor doctor who visited only well people. It is the sick that need a physician. Some years ago at a commencement exercise in a church in a Bible college in Canada, a young woman stood up and gave this testimony, and I quote, I was found in a basket on a doorstep in Leeds, England, when I was 6 days old. 10 years ago, I was found by Jesus in a home in Canada. Thank God, Jesus is still finding sinners. I'm happy to report to you that about 72 years ago, at an old-fashioned altar in an old-fashioned church, after an old-fashioned preacher preached an old-fashioned message, Jesus found Raymond Barber. I was not seeking him. He was seeking me. And guess what? I've been saved 87.8% of my life. Wow. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad Jesus found me. I have a personal question for every person in this room. Be honest with yourself. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm just going to ask you, has Jesus found you? Have you been born again? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that you're saved? Or have you just had some kind of experience? You signed a card, you shook a preacher's hand, you walked down the aisle. I'm asking you, do you know that you know that you know that you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Has Jesus found you? You see, my friends, when Jesus came from the portals of heaven to the poverty of earth, he did not come to establish a new social order. He did not come to enlarge the powers of the Roman Empire. He did not come to enhance the philosophy of Greece. He came on a mission of redemption. That's what he said. I'm going to give you his word for it. Don't take my word for it. I'm going to give you his word. And he said it in Luke 19:10. And here's what he said. For the Son of... I'm quoting Jesus. Now, you know I love to quote Jesus. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ came as a physician to heal every sin-sick soul of Adam's wretched, ruined, rebellious race. Look back at verse number 12 with me. The last part says, they that be sick, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I entitled this message, Christ the Great Physician. Now permit me, before I begin the message, to say something that I feel very strongly in my heart today. Having been saved for 72 years, having been in the ministry for 64 years, I've seen a lot of things. But you know what? And I mean this with all my heart. I am craving to see a return of old-time religion. I remember growing up in my dad's church. It was nothing to see four or five people shout in any service. My dad used to say, it's all right if you shout as long as you walk straight when you hit the ground. I had an old-fashioned Methodist shouting grandmother. By the way, the Methodists used to have something to shout about. Come to think about it, so did the Baptist. But ladies and gentlemen, here's a sad note. We have lost our shouting. We've lost much of the joy. And I want to tell you, when the thrill becomes a chill, you're over the hill and ready for a spill. Get ready for the kill. You know the reason we're not shouting today in services? We don't have anything to shout about. We've lost it. Now, we haven't lost our salvation, but we've lost the joy, the thrill, the happiness, the challenge. We come to church. We take our seat. We fold our arms. We watch the offering plate go by. We hear the preacher say, preach his heart out. And we sit and do nothing about it. What's wrong with Christianity? It's not Christ. It's Christians. Where? I ask you again, where is our shouting? Where is our jubilee? Where's our happiness? Where's our excitement? I know that sounds like an old-fashioned preacher, but I happen to be an old-fashioned preacher. I happen to serve an old-fashioned Savior. I happen to read an old-fashioned book. I happen to experience an old-fashioned salvation. The great physician now is near. I say to you in the first place, we need the great physician today because we live in a sin-sick, sin-cursed, sin-corrupt, sin-contaminated world. Look at our political system. Three words, I think, describe it. Corruption, greed, and graft. Unscrupulous and self-serving politicians are selling our freedoms for blood money. Our president and his administration They are stepping on the graves of our founding fathers while they're shredding our Constitution, ignoring it, changing it, making it read what they want it to read and not what the founding fathers said it was. One wonders if we'll ever recover. What about our educational system? We have left the time-honored principles of reading, writing, arithmetic, and religion. We've expelled God from the classroom. We've taken the Bible out. We've taken prayer out. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm convinced the best thing that could happen to public education today is bring God back into the classroom. You say, well, we believe in church and separation of church. That's got nothing to do with separation of church. Read the Constitution and get the right meaning. Been misinterpreted through the years. I believe it would be good to get prayer back in the classroom, don't you? The Bible and God and the Holy Spirit and Christian teachers. I'm saying all that to say this. We are traveling the road of progressive education, and it is a dead-end street. These paths that we're following in public education. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm 29 years old. I've never been misunderstood. I don't want to start today. There's some good public schools. Don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to find them. But I'm saying to you, by and large, what's happened since we took the Bible and God and prayer out of the public schools, you see where they've gone, don't you? You see the shootings, the killings, the rape, the robbery, and all the rest that's happening among even the grade school children? History books have been changed in a lot of cases. Did you realize that the generation that's coming up in our day will never know what America was really about? Because the history books have been changed. What about the religious system? God help us here. We have liberal professors who are teaching in colleges and seminaries all over America who deny the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus. They deny the inspiration of the Scripture. They deny the vicarious sufferings of Christ. They deny the literal resurrection of our Lord. They deny His coming again. And here's the sad thing. The graduates of these schools and these seminaries will one day be our business leaders, our political leaders, our school teachers, and God have mercy on us, our preachers. You see, if a preacher goes through a seminary where the professor says the Bible is not really true, it's all allegorical, it's all figurative, what's he going to say when he stands before his congregation? And what's the next generation if Jesus tarries his coming? What are they going to say? What are they going to believe? Did you know, my friend, that the biggest problem we have in America today is the sin problem? It's not the budget problem. It's not the war problem. It's not the economy problem. It's not the immigration problem. It's not the energy problem. It's the sin problem. And I need to tell you that sin is hereditary. That's what Paul said in Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I need to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, sin is lethal. Sin is fatal. Sin is deadly. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. James 1:15, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Can I tell you in plain English, sin will kill you. By the way, I'm not dealing in human speculations. I'm dealing in divine absolutes. It is an absolute truth that every man that rejects the Son of God will spend eternity in hell. And could I tell you that every street that leads to hell is a one-way street? John said in the Revelation chapter 20, I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, every man according to his works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written on the church roll, no. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Could I ask you, is your name written there? On that page, bright and fair, is your name written there? I see in the second place, we need the great physician because man has failed in his effort to heal his own sin sickness. Since the days of Adam, all attempts to heal our sickness of sin have failed, miserably failed. Man has tried to legislate righteousness through the creation of good government. That's failed. Miserably failed. Man has tried to cure sin through education. That's failed. Miserably failed. Hear me. No man has ever educated himself to God. Man has tried to establish right relationship with God by exercising religious rituals and ceremonial practices, and they have failed, miserably failed. None of these can make peace with God. Ladies and gentlemen, God is a holy God. And nothing but the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, will satisfy his holiness. In vain we search for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne. What do we preach? In the words of Paul, 2 Corinthians 4:5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And you know what? When we preach Christ Jesus the Lord, we preach the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. It's all in there. I see in the third place, we need the great physician today because He alone can save our sin-sick souls. My friend, you know what your problem is? Your problem is a heart problem. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, I would just highly recommend with all of my heart and soul and mind and strength today, if you're here without the Savior, you make an appointment with the great physician. And listen, you won't have to wait 6 weeks to get in. You can walk in by faith this morning. Even while I'm speaking, you can walk in to his office and he'll put the stethoscope on you and show you what's wrong with your heart, and he'll give you an unbiased, unflattering, unedited diagnosis of your heart. And here it is. Are you ready? Mark 7, verse 21. I'm quoting Jesus. You already know. I love to quote Jesus. He said, for from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. What you need, my friend, is a heart transplant. And you know what? Jesus specializes in heart transplants. Can I tell you the great physician has the medicine that will cure your sin sick soul? His own blood. I'm recommending you need a divine blood transfusion. You need the blood of Jesus. Only the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. Nothing. 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 No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wherefore he's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. We sang about it. According to his mercy, he has saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. O Lamb of God, I come to thee. The great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, hear the voice of Jesus. Sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, 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 blessed Jesus. I appeal to you, as Paul said, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. If you are tired of your load of sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now you're doubting, give o'er. Just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door and let Jesus come in. Let's stand for our prayer. Throw open the door. Let Jesus come in. You're here today without the Savior. I bid you come and trust him. Somebody here will show you the way. You're here today. If you don't have to leave, I trust that you wouldn't. You're here today. You feel like you've lost some of the joy. You've lost your shout. You've lost the thrill. It's just a matter of a rote, coming to church, sitting down, saying a hymn, going home, coming back. Please don't let that be your experience. Get on fire for God, would you? Who would be first to come? And just say honestly, I need a renewal of my faith and renewal of the joy and peace and happiness. I want my shout back. Would you come while we sing, Father, help us this morning to let Jesus come into our hearts. In His name I pray.